and I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me.
Evening. Thank the elders for this opportunity to bring you God's word. I want to speak on the oneness of Christ's church, or unity. You know, we are all in this together. And why? That's the way God wants it. You look at New Unger's Bible Dictionary, it gives this definition of unity, which in the Greek is the word yahad, Y-A-H-A-D. It is used to signify a oneness of sentiment, affection, or behavior, such as should exist among the people of God. I'm going to read several biblical examples concerning unity this evening. First one will be in 2 Chronicles 30 and verse 12. And there it says, "Also in Judah the hand of God was on the people to give them unity of mind to carry out what the king and his officials had ordered, following the word of God." And then we move to the book of Psalms. And in Psalms 133, and this is a song of ascents of David. Most of the book of Psalms is really, if you think of it, put it to music, these are songs. And it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." So we're all in this together. We are today, we were many years ago. This is the way that God wants it. The scripture that Jeff read this evening was from John, and that was John 17:23. Let me read that again. "I in them and you in me," or thou, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, what does unity mean? Unity, when you break down that word, unity means one. I mean, it's not a multiple thing. It's, you can take a multiple of things and they come together and you have one. You have a group of people. Everybody is one person here. You bring them together, they're all one group. And we're in it together. That's what unity is all about. You can be one for a good cause. You can be one for a bad cause, of course. We want to do it what God says and do it proper way. If you turn to Romans 5:15-5, you'll find that it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus." Ephesians 4:1 talks about the unity in the body of Christ. "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of calling you have received." So again and again, we have examples of the unity and the oneness that we have here. Ephesians 4:3, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Skipping down to the 13th verse of Ephesians 4, it says in part, "And until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And in Colossians 3:14, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." The Old Testament prophesied of one church. Talked about one church, didn't talk about multiple churches. And we'll get to that in a little bit. It said, and it says in Isaiah 2:2, "Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it." Timothy 3:14 and verse 15, "Although I hope to come to you, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth." So we see the establishment of the church the prophesying that the Old Testament, that the church will be established. Isaiah predicted it, the establishment of this house. And Paul tells Timothy that the house of God is the church. Now we know that we are people, we are imperfect, we lie. We don't try to lie. If we're, you know, but we will. And other people will lie more than some others. But God doesn't know how to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. We know that from Hebrews 6:18, among other places. So, if he, God, did not lie by establishing a multitude of churches, but told the exact truth in establishing one, and the only one he promised to build. So, if he didn't lie and he built one church, then why are there, quote unquote, multiple churches? That's a good question. You know, Christ prophesied and promised one church too. In John 10:16, it says, "And they shall become one flock, one shepherd." Christ prophesied about uniting the Jews and the Gentiles into one body. That body could be on the church, and Jews and Gentiles are one body in Christ today, where they are members of the New Testament and in various sects and denominations. Matthew 16:8, very familiar verse, talks about Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Okay, Brad likes to break down words and likes to talk about tenses and things. Well, how many churches did they talk about there? How many did he promise to build? One, because my church is singular, that's not a plural. So if denominationalism is acceptable to God, in order to tell the truth, Christ would have to have said, "Upon this rock I will build my churches." But he did not say that. Christ prophesied and promised one church. And Christ prayed for one church and all the believers in that church. John 17:20-21. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that they, the world, may believe that you have sent me." So all who believe in Christ today and through all the ages are included in this prayer. If you just think about that, that's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. So Christ was praying for everyone. But you know, you have to believe and accept what he's doing for that to really, you know, to really benefit from that. And the prayer is for oneness. And Christ prayed for unity, that the world might believe. So those who justify a system today of people being divided into sects and parties, denominationalism, and we're not the only people in here. We're trying to follow what God says. We're not trying to add anything to or take anything away. But there are others that are standing here. But there's only one church. They think the division is better. I mean, they probably won't say that. Well, some might say, "Well, it doesn't really matter what you do or how you go about it. We're all, you know, all going for the same goal. We can go at it from different tacks and different ways to do it." And they might say that, in essence, division is better, and that people can join the church of their own choice because it's better for their taste, for their talents, for their temperaments, for their training, etc. There's many examples there. And in this way, more people can be reached if you use all these different ways. Well, that's probably true, but you're not really reaching them in the right way. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a false, sense. You think you're reaching him and converting him, but you're not doing it the way that is told in the Bible. So Christ's blood was purchased, or Christ's blood purchased how many churches? One. Acts 20 and 28, the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. Now I ask you, how many churches did Christ's blood purchase? I said one. The church of the Lord, not the churches of the Lord. Romans 12:5. So we are, who are many, are one body in Christ. So we sit here tonight, however many there are here in front of me. We typically have, you know, 75, 100, 110. It doesn't matter. We're one part of God's body. There are many the world over. But really, those thousands and thousands of people, and it's really a big number when you consider all the way back to when the church was established, that we're all one. We're all in it together. And that's the way God wants it. 1 Corinthians talks about all are baptized, or 1 Corinthians 12, 13. All are baptized into one body. As I talked about before, as near as I can tell, there are at least 200 different bodies in this country that will have you believe you can be baptized into Christ. And that number might even be a low number. But now, the New Testament condemns division. And in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says that there be no division among you. That's pretty plain. And it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly united. United being another form of the word unity, or oneness. May be perfectly united in mind and thought. Romans 16:17. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them. So the whole idea is that we're in this together. We have a way that has been spelled out for us. There's not many ways. You could take many paths to get to the same place. I mean, we all came here today and took different roads to get here. I mean, I know when I come to this building, I have about 3 or 4 different ways I can get here. And I choose whatever road suits. There's only one way to get to, you know, where we're going, where we want to go, God's way. There's not multiple ways. It's unity. And in God's plan, it's beautiful that we're all in it together. I mean, we could all be on this world and do our own thing and try to work out our own salvation on our own. And if that was God's plan, that would be great, and we would do that. But we have each other to come together and be strengthened and to be edified and to, you know, watch over one another. And if we're not doing things the way we should, then hopefully somebody will come to us, you know, in a loving way. And like Darren said today, with the smooth stone and not with the jagged edge. And, you know, coax us in the right direction. And hopefully we would do the same for them. So we all have the one way that is God's way. There's not many ways. And that's what we want to follow. That's all I had to say on that subject. I do want to issue an invitation this time. The plan of salvation is spelled out in several places in the Bible. First, you have to hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then if you've heard the word, then you have to believe what you've heard. In Mark 16:15-16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, or shall be condemned. So you hear and you believe, and then you repent. You put away those sins. In Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, this isn't just a simple request. This is a command. So we've got believe, repent. Hear, believe, repent. Then we got confess. And confession is spoken of in Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So you've got to hear, believe, repent, and then you've got to confess that what that you believe in God and you're looking out for him. And then at the end of that, you must be baptized. You must be buried with him in the water. And just like Christ went to the cross and he was buried and he put away the sins of the world, our baptism is symbolic of that. We die to our old selves and we're made a new creature. And that is a commandment. And it says in Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And doing all these things, you don't just change and then go back to your old ways. You don't just become a new person and then revert to the old man. You have to remain faithful. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So, if you want to be baptized, the water is ready, or if you need the prayers of the church, you can come forward. The invitation applies to you anyway. Please come forward at this time as we stand and sing.